Turn to Matthew chapter 27. I've been looking at hiding the truth. The devil does not want the truth to get out. If we ever understand the truth about him, the devil, it'll make our lives different. If we ever understand the truth about the Lord, it'll make our lives different. So I wouldn't want to the truth be gotten out on me either if I was the enemy, the devil. He's a liar and he doesn't mind lying. He does not play by the rules. Chapter 27, begin reading. Let's just read verse 65 and verse 66. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. I have mentioned the fact that the devil did not want Jesus coming back out of that grave because he was the truth, and he's doing his best to keep the truth in the tomb. He's trying to hide the truth. He still is. He tried by the sealing of the stone. He sealed that stone where and he thought maybe Jesus couldn't get out. And then also the strength of the soldiers. There were soldiers set on watch. That was to keep people from getting in and trying to steal the body. But then also, and what's been on my heart for a good while, is the strategy of Satan. What was he doing? What was he trying to do? I'll tell you, same thing he's trying to do tonight. He's trying to keep the truth hidden. He does not want us exposed to the truth. If we ever understand the truth, I'll say it again, our lives will be different. The Bible says it like this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. When we know the truth, it'll help us to get the victory. I've looked at the fact that the devil or Satan wants to deceive. He does that in many ways. He wants to deceive. He doesn't mind lying. In fact, it's his best weapon to lie. If you don't care if you're telling the truth, if you don't care, if you don't want the truth exposed, lies are a good idea, and he uses lies well. He does that in order to condemn and to confuse and to cripple and to control and to convince. He's trying to convince us that he's right. And that means the Lord's wrong. The Bible's wrong. He tries to convince us. He convinced a third of the angels to rebel against God. He convinced Eve and Adam also, to be honest, to walk away from the garden and to disobey. He convinced Judas to betray the Lord. He'll convince the tribulation people to, after they've lived in all that trouble, to deny the Lord. He'll convince the people who lived through the millennial or in the millennial to rebel against the Lord. After all the perfect atmosphere and all of God's goodness, help me leave the lie. How does he convince people? How does he deceive? Same way he did all those I've mentioned, the angels, Eve, tribulation saints, Judas. He does us the same way. Here it is. Listen to me. He talks. He spoke to the angels and said, here's the way I see it. He spoke to Eve and said, God hasn't really said that, has he? He spoke and he still speaks. I've said this, I'll say it often. He speaks to us just like the Holy Spirit does. Inside, there's a voice. And we aren't careful, we'll think it's us thinking. Us speaking. If we aren't careful, we'll think it's the Lord speaking. The devil wants to deceive. He's trying to convince us. He talks to us. He speaks to us about conflicts. I've mentioned, he'll emphasize all the battles you're going through. And he'll say, if God loves you, why in the world are you going through this? He'll speak to you when you're going through battles and say, what in the world's going to happen now? Where is your God? He'll speak to us. And because he's trying to cover up the truth, the fact that God is still God in the midst of our trials and our conflicts. He'll talk to us about conflicts. He'll talk to us about closeness. He says, you don't have to really be so close to please God. You don't have to go overboard with this thing. I'll go on this evening by saying he'll talk to us about confidence. He'll try his best to get you to depend on you. And he doesn't care if we say our little Christian cliches. He doesn't mind a bit if we say, oh, we got to trust God, as long as we don't trust God. As long as he can get us, as long as he can convince us that somehow we got to work it out, somehow we got to do something, somehow it depends on us. That's the devil's lie. But it sounds awful convincing. He is a good liar. He'll try to convince us that we got to depend on ourselves and it relies on us. He'll talk to us about our walk. And it depends on us of how we live right. You got to do something. You got to rely on yourself. If you're going to do right, it's got to be you that has the grit. You got to make yourself. You got to depend on yourself. You got to determine in yourself. No, that's a lie. He tries to convince us about confidence, about our walk, and about our work. When we serve the Lord, the devil will say, well, now you got to try hard. It depends on you. You got to say the right thing and do the right thing the right way. And oh, boy, we've taught this in school. I know it doesn't show up right now. But they taught us how to fluctuate and how to pronounce words, and that's a real joke now, how to emphasize and how to repeat and how to do all the things. And they said in essence, if you do those things, then you'll touch people's hearts. But the Lord doesn't say fluctuate your voice and speak loud in certain points, and that gets the emphasis and it gets the attention of the people and they'll be moved. No, no, it's God's power through us. Very ill-equipped, unable, weak vessels God uses. But the devil will try to convince us it depends on us, about our walk and our work and our witness. We'll try and convince people ourselves they need to be saved. And if we're not careful, we'll force them or push them, trying to make them. We've got a burden, that's good. Want to see them get saved, that's great. But I want to tell you one thing, my pushing them will push them straight to hell. My trying to make them make a decision. They may pray a prayer that'll be as empty and dead and useless as 4 o'clock. It is the Spirit of God, but the devil tries to convince us it's us that has to do it. It depends on us. He'll try to convince us about that, about our worth. He'll remind you how special you are and how good you are and how smart you are and how you deserve recognition and how you deserve a position. And if we're not careful, that'll make self into an idol. And we'll worship ourselves instead of the Lord. And I tell you one thing, when we depend on ourselves, we will always fail. But the devil doesn't want us to know that. The devil will say, you are able, you can do it. Could I remind you what this Bible says? Could I remind you before I say that? This Bible is the truth. And what this book says, we can believe. But the devil tells us that we don't need to trust this book. This book says that we are as dung. This book says the best we can do is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. But the devil won't tell you that. He'll say, you're a pretty good person. You're not near as bad as most. You do a whole lot better than the average. But I say what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now as thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? The Lord said through Paul, if you've got anything, including some sense, including some talent, including some ability, if you have anything, it came from God. And he says, why in the world are you acting as though you did not receive it? Why do you think you're worthy? The devil will try and emphasize confidence in us and talk about how good we are and how able we are. But the Bible warns about that kind of thinking because it says things like this, 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh stand heed lest he fall. When we think, I'll tell you one thing, the Lord, as a while back I preached somewhere else, and a while after that, there was a lady and her husband and her daddy. They came up, and the lady was talking about how much she enjoyed the message that I preached. And her daddy said, don't tell him that. He'll give him the big head. And I said, no, don't you worry about that. If I ever get the big head, the Lord knows how to let my air out of my balloon real quick. And I'll tell you one thing, the Bible says, when we think we're standing, we better watch out. When we think we're able, we better watch out. Now, the devil will tell you you're able. The devil will tell you you can. The devil will tell you how smart you are and how equipped you are. But the devil is a liar. And the truth is, when I think I'm standing is when I'm about to fall. I believe the Lord will make sure we do. I believe the Lord will make sure we go down. When we start elevating self above him, I believe he'll take us down. I believe that's what that verse says. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He'll let us fail. Could have said again, the prodigal's father let him go down to the pig pen. Knowing his failure, knowing his fall, knowing his sin, knowing what was ahead, he let him go. The Lord let David look at Bathsheba and do what he did. The Lord let Peter deny him. The Lord let Jonah run a while. It's a hard lesson to learn what self and me is, what I am, but it's a lesson we need to learn. The devil is trying to elevate us because when me is elevated, I am elevated, self is elevated, it lowers the Lord. He doesn't want the truth to get out. It's a hard lesson to learn, but we need to know how worthless we are. When we start trusting self, we're in trouble. We're about to fail. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. He walked out on the balcony of his palace. He said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the power of my might and for the honor of my majesty? He said, look what I have done for myself. I'm the one did it, and I'm the one that's enjoying the benefit. But the Bible says within a few hours, he was out in the fields acting like a wild animal. And the Bible says he did eat grass as an ox, and the dew of heaven settled on his body, and his hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. And for a period of time, the man was out of his mind. Because he thought, look what I did. And the devil will say, you're able. You can. And you deserve the credit. You deserve that position. You deserve that honor. I'm reminded of Herod in the New Testament that made a speech. And oh, it must have been grand. When he got through, they said, oh my, it's the words of a God. And the Bible says that he was eaten by worms because he gave not God the glory. When he took the credit to himself, God said, you won't get the credit that belongs to me. The devil is a liar. He tries to convince us. He'll talk to you to try and convince you about your about confidence, but also about compromise. The devil will say, you don't have to be so strict. You don't have to be so strong. You don't have to be so dogmatic. I mean, after all, God is a God of love. I hear some people talk, God's some kind of flower child. Just loves everybody. When I tell you, God is a God of love, but He's also a holy God. The devil tell you, God's your best friend. And he wants you to look at Him as He's your best friend. He's just the big man upstairs. He's just the big guy that's there to help you. I tell you, God is there to help us, but He's still God. The devil will lie to us. He'll speak to us. He'll talk to us, and it'll sound like us, those thoughts we're having. What kind of thinking are you doing? What kind of thoughts do you have? How much of what we're thinking about is really coming from the devil? He talks to us about compromise. He said, just relax your guard a little bit. And he'll try and make us think, well, there's really no need to study the Bible. I don't really have to spend so much time in prayer. I don't have to really go to church all the time. I'm okay. I don't need those things. I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said, you better watch, and while you're watching, you better pray, because there's an enemy. In other words, he's saying is, don't let down your guard. The devil says, just relax. Just don't be so harsh. Don't be so dogmatic. Just relax a little bit. Enjoy life a little bit. And that's why Paul had to write this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was a man who loved God, but he loved the world more than God. And he was put in with Paul and could have been a mighty warrior for the cause of Christ, but he failed, and the reason he failed is because he did not put up his guard about the world, and the world got him. I say it'll get you too. It'll get me too. The devil don't want you to know that. He'll say, oh, it's all right. Here's his favorite phrase. There's nothing wrong with fill in the blank. There's nothing wrong with fill in the blank. But I want to tell you one thing. Those things that he said there's nothing wrong with, they may not even be what we call sin. But I ask you, is it spiritual? Is it spiritual? Is it going to help us spiritually? Demas loved the world. I tell you, the world will devour us. The world will drain us. Playing in the world leads to failure. Mingling with the things of the world lessens your desire for the things of God. Stephanie fixed banana split cake the other night. Got two of them. Had two of them. But we went to eat, and I ate so much, when I got home, that banana split cake didn't even look good. It did this afternoon. But because my appetite had been satisfied with one thing, my appetite for something else was diminished. And when we say so, intermingled with the world, it lessens our desire and thirst and hunger for the things of God. That's why there's such a difference in the old-time way and us. I'm not even talking about the modern churches or the charismatic churches or the contemporary churches. I'm talking about us. Back then, Ma and Pa, all they did was work all week and love the Lord. To where when they came to church, man, they were ready to worship because they've been worshiping all week. Our minds are so full of stuff, and it may not be really bad stuff, but it's taking the place and precedent over the things of God. And it diminishes our hunger for the things of God. But the devil will say, ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'll tell you one thing. If we ever read that Bible and realize how far we are from the Bible, it may just alarm us. The devil's a liar. He's trying to convince us that it's okay. He's trying to convince us that it's all right. And it says very clearly throughout the Bible that we're not to love the world. In fact, we're to hate the world and shun the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Paul said it like this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In a world full of sin and sickness, spiritual sickness, and filth, and wickedness, the Lord said, I want my people to still live right. Godly and sober and righteous in the present wicked world. I'll add the word, wicked. We're to live godly in an ungodly world. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That word deny means to reject. It means to contradict. We're to be the exact opposite of the world. But the devil doesn't want us to think that way. He wants us to be convinced that it's okay. He wants to convince us. He talks to us in trying to convince us about conflicts, closeness, confidence, compromise, and I'll do this and I'll quit. Comparison. He wants us to compare ourselves with other Christians. And I promise you, if you do that, you can find somebody worse than you. I hope you can. If you can't find anybody worse than you, you are in bad shape. But the devil, hey, I'm talking about here, talk to us. What are you thinking about? What are your thoughts? Where are those thoughts coming from? Who's the initiator of the thoughts? Who's the author of your thinking? He'll try to talk to us about comparison, comparing. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know what he's saying? When I look at my life and say, well, I know I'm not near what I ought to be, but I'm not any worse than Bill. I know Susie's not doing near as good as I am. And they compare themselves with themselves. And Paul said, could I remind you? The Lord said, that's not wise. But the devil will get us convinced, here's more again, convinced to compare ourselves with ourselves. You know what the church is doing? What it's always done? We compare ourselves with the world. Since we're better than the world, we think we're all right. But the problem with that that plan and that idea is all mankind gets gradually worse and worse and worse and worse. So for years, the world has gotten worse, 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 further from God, further from God, further from God, further from God. And we understand that. But what the church has done is stayed just a little bit better than the world. And when the world moves, we move. And when the world moves, we move. And when the world moves, we move. And we look and say, we're still better than the world, but we have neglected to realize we're a lot further from God than we used to be. Got a question. Do you think the church of today is as godly as the church of 100 years ago? Hey, got another question. Do you think the church of today is as godly as the church of 20 years ago? We have drifted with the world, but we are comparing ourselves with the world, so we still look pretty good. And the devil says, you all right? You're better than the world. I wish we would read the Bible and see what it says and see how far we are from the Lord. Ain't it been a good day in church today? I've been mean both services. But I've told the truth. The devil convinces us we're all right because we're still better than the world. But I'm going to tell you, we ain't much better than the world. I know we're not getting drunk. I hope not. And I hope we're not committing adultery. And I hope we're not going around cussing all the time. But we're still a long way from where God wants us. He tries to talk to us about comparison. You see, the world moves, we move. World moves, we move. World moves, we move. But God didn't move. Bible didn't change. God is still the same God. We're talking about the Old Testament God. No, that was God. God was God in the Old Testament, just like He is now. And He's a holy God, and He demands holiness. And He ought to. The devil will say, but God's a God of love. And He is. But you know what a God of love will do? He'll warn His children when they get in a dangerous place. The other day, I was sitting on the porch. Connor was riding his bicycle, and he's heading toward the road. And I hollered his name, and of course, he ignored me. Second time was not near as pleasant. In fact, it was so loud and so stern, I thought, boy, the neighbor's going to think I'm killing that boy. And all I was doing was hollering at him, but he stopped. I didn't holler at him. I wasn't mean to him because I'm a mean grandpa. Well, I'm a mean grandpa. But I hollered at him abruptly because he was about to go somewhere that was dangerous. I hollered in love. And that's the same way our Father is. He is abrupt at times. He can be harsh at times. He can be demanding at times because He's holy, but because He's a loving Father that wants His people in the best place in this world. But the devil will say, oh, He loves you. He's not near as hard or stern as you think He is. You all right? Comparison. Comparing ourselves with each other. Comparing ourselves with the world. Could I say this and I'm done? God said, I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change. Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Know what He's saying, those things in your heart. Could I expand on that a little bit? The things we think in our mind are so important. The battleground's right here, folks. It was with a third of the angels. It was with Eve. It was with Judas. And it is with us. What the devil says to us. We need to protect our thoughts. That word, keep thy heart, is like a gatekeeper that stands guard over a city and those that are safe and good, bringing in visuals and bringing in food and bringing in needful things. They open the gate and let in the good things. But they also, when there's somebody like an enemy, someone harmful come, they close that gate and keep them out. And God says that's what our mind needs to be. Those good thoughts, we let them in, and it helps us. Those bad thoughts, we stop them and keep them out because they're harmful. I promise you, your battle and mine is in the mind. And that's why I'm spending so much time on this. Who you been listening to this week? What has the devil convinced you of this week that isn't the truth? He doesn't want the truth out. He's trying to hide the truth from us. Let's stand together.